ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sri Vishnu Sahasranam reading. Continued. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 295, Kamaha, the destroyer of desires. We've just had the name Pavana, the purifier. What does that mean, purifier? Purifier means that it removes that which is impure. Purification takes place by removal of impurities, which suggests, the very term purifier suggests that by nature we are pure. When you speak about pure gold, it means unmixed with any other element. So that is the actual meaning of gold, to be unmixed. Although we may say in nature it occurs mixed, but actual gold means pure gold. So in this material world, the spirit soul, although by nature pure, is mixed with other qualities which are foreign to the soul. And purification, that reveals pure gold, nothing but gold. All gold and nothing but gold. So in the same way, the spirit soul by nature is pure, but in material existence is mixed with foreign elements, extrinsic to his nature. So impurity means kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, ityadi. There's a list of six, well-known list of six enemies. These are called the six enemies of the soul. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, and envy. And there are others also, but this is the basic list. And they all come from karma, material desire. Actually, karma and matsarya, envy, they're intricately mixed. We can say that everything comes from envy or everything comes from desire. Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. All living beings come into this material existence impelled by these two. Icha means karma, desire, material desire. And dvesha, which is more or less synonymous with matsaryata, or bad feeling. Desire to dislike of others and desire to cause them harm. So, in this way, one becomes illusioned into dvandva moha. It means in thinking of terms of I, me, and mine. Instead of seeing that we're all together, we're all living beings, all part and parcel of Krishna. Aham nija paroveti ganana. Some echo. Ganana laghu chetasam. Udaritanam chetangsi vasudhaiva kutumbakam. In the minds of persons whose consciousness is very small, not great, lagu literally means light, means they have very little intelligence, so not very deep thinking. Not guru. Lagu is the opposite of guru. Guru means heavy. So in the minds of such people, this thought always comes. This is mine. That's someone else's. Or that is someone else. So aham mama. This I and mine, this feeling, this guy, this gives rise to envy. And envy arises from karma. They both arise from each other. Karma, material desire. I want this. Someone else has got more than me. Someone has something that I want. So you envy them. Or we're afraid someone who doesn't have what I have, they may try to take it away from me. Or we both don't have it, but I may not be able to get it, but I'll make sure that other person doesn't get it also. So this envy all comes from material desire, which is the jnanina nityavairina, is the constant enemy of actual knowledge. Material desire means that we can't think clearly. Because this is the enemy. Material desire means thinking in terms of acquiring material objects for sense gratification. This means that our consciousness is covered. What is that? Three examples given in Gita of how the consciousness is covered. As smoke is covered by fire. As fire is covered by smoke. As the embryo is covered by the womb. As the mirror is covered by dust. So in various examples are given of how yata darshamalena cha, how the mirror is covered by dust. Tatateneva mavritam. In this way, the consciousness, the pure consciousness of the soul is covered. And what is that covering? That covering is there of material desire. And it's very difficult to get free from, as anyone who's tried to get free from material desires experiences, which I hope means all of us here. Because if we're cultivating material desires, we can't cultivate Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult. And not only is it difficult, it seems to be an impossible proposition if you consider that we do have senses, which in our present state of consciousness in this material world, the senses interact, the consciousness is intimately linked with the senses. We experience everything via the senses. Most of our experience, we can say. Well, there's also subconscious. But that falls in a different category to experience. But our direct consciousness is mostly consists of that which we perceive via the senses. So, some people, for the sake of trying to become free from this, they try to withdraw from the world and withdraw the senses. And that's part of the yoga process. Pratyahara means to withdraw the senses. And ultimately to be in samadhi. And in the state of samadhi in the Ashtanga yoga system, one is unaware of the world around oneself. And the happiness. That's described in Gita. Yontarama, the one who takes pleasure inside, not outside. Inner happiness, he's oblivious to the world around him. But that state is very difficult to attain, and even if one is oblivious to the world around one, then one has to come back into this world, unless one just goes into meditation and never comes back again. You go into samadhi and then finished. We find, just like for instance, there's the example of Shamika Rishi, as described in Bhagavatam. He was in a state of samadhi, so he was unaware of the king, Parikshit, arriving in his ashram, and he was even unaware when Parikshit insultingly garlanded Shamika Rishi with a dead snake. Shamika Rishi was in different consciousness, but he came out of that eventually. So the difficulty is, how can one ultimately disengage the senses from the sense objects? Because the senses, they cannot but interact with the sense objects. And when that happens, then desire arises. Or even if desire does not arise, generally desire arises. Krishna speaks about this a lot in Bhagavad Gita, about how one can, live in this world but be detached. That one doesn't desire anything, nor is one averse to anything. Even to happiness or distress, when it arises. That if one has an opportunity for sense pleasure, everything's very nicely set up for his sense pleasure, he doesn't become elated. And even if everything is disastrous for his sense pleasure, it's very troublesome condition. Dukeshvanuk vignamana sukeshu vigata spriha. In a situation where he can enjoy, he doesn't desire to enjoy. In a situation where there's distress, he doesn't become disturbed. So Krishna speaks a lot about this. But still the fact remains that one is, even if one is comes to that level of being free from desire, still one is aware of the objects all around one. One cannot but be so. So how to get free from this? That is the question of the four Kumaras, who were big philosophers and meditators, and they went to Brahma, even though Brahma wasn't very happy with them, but he was supposed to be the most knowledgeable. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaveya. The knowledge, Vedic knowledge, was imparted into his heart at the time of creation, but then also Muhyanti Yat Suryaha. Even though he gives the knowledge to all the demigods, he also bewilders them, Krishna. So Krishna gave knowledge to Brahma, but he's also one of the demigods. He also became bewildered. So when this question was given to Brahma, that the senses are inextricably linked with the sense objects, so how do you get out of this? The four Kumaras were bewildered, and Brahma also became bewildered. And then Hamsa Avatar appeared and said, "Well, you have to think of me. I am the principle beyond all of this." They realized he was Vishnu when he spoke like this, for two reasons. Because he spoke as only Vishnu can speak. Of course, imitators can also speak like that. And such knowledge, if the four Kumaras, who are they are accepted as the Shaktyavesh avatar of Jnana, and Brahma, if they can't understand the answer to this question, it must be Vishnu himself who's speaking. So this is the solution. How to get free from material desire? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse, Dhyato Vishayan Pungsang Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha Kamat Krodho Vijayate. In the purport to this verse, which is chapter 2, text 62, I actually know some verses' numbers. I'm not very good at verse numbers in general. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in there, he comments that even a personality like Lord Shiva, who is following the meditation process, can be agitated. And he gives the example that when the Parvati came to agitate Shiva, he became agitated. And as a result, Kartikeya was born. And Haridas Thakur, as a great even as a young man, the same Maya came to agitate him, but he wasn't agitated. So of course, Lord Shiva, he's the greatest Vaishnava. He's stated to be the greatest Vaishnava. But he, superficially, he took the role of a meditator, performing meditation. So many Shaivas, they followers of Lord Shiva, they follow his example by this meditation. But to get free from material desire is possible only by the grace of Krishna. So Krishna, he destroys material desire. He can do that for us. We cannot. This purification of removing material desires, that is possible by the mercy of Krishna. That doesn't mean that we don't try to control the mind and senses. Yoga indriya sanyamya. Yoga means to bring this or to, how do you, subdue the senses. So that practice should be there. That process is given also by Krishna. We're not saying that it's completely useless. Krishna also appreciates yogis who try to control the senses, and he gives them the chance. If they're not successful, he gives them another chance. Shuchinang Srimatangehe Yoga Bhashto Bijayate. If one is fallen from the path of yoga, he gets another chance in the next life. So it's not that Krishna condemns the yoga process. But in and of itself, it will not be successful. So consideration of karma is essential for all transcendentalists. That is the enemy in spiritual life. We have no enemy outside. No one can harm us. If we know we're not the body, then no one can harm us. But material desire is that which blocks the development of spiritual consciousness. I think this girl should be kept under control and not running around here in the class. We all know she's a very charming little girl, but it's not the time for her to run around now. Not here anyway. So, desire. Karma means desire. And generally it's understood to mean material desire. Generally when we see this word karma, it means material desire. And even more specifically, it refers to sexual desire. Therefore, the name of the demigod, Kama Deva. He incites desire by inciting sexual desire, from which all other desires evolve. Pungsastriya mithuni bhavametam tayaraho hridya grantimaho ato griha kshetra sutata vitarjanasya moho yamahamameti. The basic principle of material existence is the attraction between male and female, which forms a strong knot in the heart. That means that the heart is not free to pursue the natural propensity to love Krishna, tied up. And from that desire arises the desire for home, wealth, identification with country, money, prestige, all these ephemeral and insubstantial desires. And in this way, one is illusioned in terms of I, me, and mine. So, karma means desire, material desire. But it can sometimes, in some contexts, it's also used to mean spiritual desire. Karma in and of itself is not a bad thing. If it's directed toward Krishna's service. Therefore, Narottanda says, karma Krishna karma arpane. I will, how to overcome material desire, then we will dovetail that desire for desire to serve Krishna. But material desire, it's so powerful. How is it so powerful? Because it is the perverted reflection of that, the powerful meaning of our life in pure consciousness, which is prema, love of Krishna. So these two in some ways are very similar, but they're opposites. Just like in a mirror they may appear similar, but they're actually opposite. The right side becomes the left side, and so on. Of course, the top still remains the top, but becomes left becomes right, and right becomes left. So, Krishna, Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nama. They're very similar, but the desire to satisfy one's own senses is called karma, or material desire, and the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prema. So it's very important to understand and differentiate between these two. And the mistake of the Prakriti Sahajiyas is that they don't clearly differentiate between the two. They think that you can have material desire and still have Krishna prema. But the result is that what they call prema, that will, it's just some imagination. They don't actually have it. They may talk about Krishna's pastimes, and they actually like to hear about Krishna's pastimes. But that liking to hear Krishna's pastimes is enacted from the platform of mundane liking. And that is seen in as much as they cannot make themselves free from mundane sexual attraction. And often, in some cases, they'll completely misinterpret this, and then a man, so-called devotee, will dance with women and have sexual union with them in the name of Leela, because they've not understood the difference between karma and prema, and they conflate the two. And their sentimental feeling for Krishna, they take that to be pure bhakti. But pure means without any admixture. So if there's unless there is along with cultivation of feeling for Krishna, one has to become without feeling for this material world. That doesn't mean one becomes completely callous, but one doesn't become involved in the affairs of this world. Naturally, a devotee is, he is upset or disturbed by seeing the suffering within this world, but he doesn't think that we can change the course of the world by having peace conferences or having campaigns to feed people or open hospitals or any such thing. Because he knows that the suffering is caused by sinful activities. So devotee, he doesn't like to see the suffering, but he attempts to remove that by preaching Krishna consciousness, giving real knowledge. But because as long as one has material desire, then it doesn't matter how many hospitals you open or whatever social arrangements you make for equitable distribution of wealth or any such programs, then people still have to suffer. Even if you transport everyone to the heavenly planets, but there's suffering there also. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravatina Arjuna Mamupetyate Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. Everywhere in the heavenly planets there's even if you go up to Brahma Loka, you have to come back again. If you go to Krishna, you don't have to come back. That is a happy life. So karma, this is the enemy. If we're on the completely pure level, then we have no material desire. And the Prakriti Sahaja say, no, we don't have material desire. We love beautiful young women, but it's just because we see Radha in all of them. You rascal, you're not Krishna. Krishna is pleased when he sees that his devotees are pleased. So I'm pleased when I have sense gratification. All kinds of rascal ideas they invent. All kinds of rascal ideas. We have to see very clearly. Siddhanta bolya chitte na karaha alash yaha hoite krishne lage suriramanash. We have to be very rigid in trying to understand what is the actual teaching of Krishna. What is the siddhanta, the proper understanding. Don't be lazy in this matter. If we can understand clearly, then we can strongly catch Krishna in our mind. Otherwise, if it's not clear, if it's not clear, that means we're not clear what is Krishna consciousness and what is Maya, what is the difference between pure spiritual desire and lust, then we're going to be misled by lust. So proper understanding is required. Prema is the goal, and we pursue that by positively engaging in Krishna's service. Karma, Krishna karma arpane. But at the same time, we have to be careful not to allow the mind and the senses to become involved in mundane, sensual desire and activities. So karma is a great... Karma gives rise to krodha and lobha. If the desire is not fulfilled, we become angry and frustrated. That's krodha. And if it is fulfilled, you think, yeah, well, I want more, more, more. Then it becomes greed. So, this is the great enemy. How can we overcome it? Krishna. Ask for Krishna's help. Krishna, kamaha. He can destroy all. We cannot. We are very weak. Krishna can. Daivi esha gunamai. Amamaya durate amam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. We are very weak and Maya is very strong, but Krishna is much stronger even than Maya. So, if we take shelter of Krishna, we can easily cross beyond Maya by Krishna's grace. To be in Maya means to have material desires. Very difficult to overcome, but it's possible. By the grace of Krishna. All right, so this is a very important discussion about karma. There are several names in this section, in this verse, which are related to karma. Karma krit, one who makes desire. Kama, his name is Kama. Kama Prada, one who gives, fulfills desires. So there are various names connected with Kama here. All right, anything? Any question or comment about this? No. It's what we could call basic stuff. Very important basic topic. Good to consider. Even if we become a great scholar of Vedanta, still we should discuss these topics regularly. Because simply by becoming a great scholar of Vedanta or Srimad Bhagavatam, directly, that's directly Vedanta. Sava Vedanta Saram Hi, that's the very essence of Vedanta. But still this Jnaninam Nitya Vairinam, this constant enemy of knowledge and realization, Srila Prabhupada says here. So, in this context, jnana can be understood to be not only knowledge, but realization. So this karma, material desire, is that there cannot be actual realization of Krishna consciousness if there's material desire. And if we see material desire manifest in someone even who's a practicing devotee, we can understand that if they have manifest material desires, then we can understand that they don't have much realization. Due to material desires, even if we take to devotional service, because jnaninam nityavairinam, because it's the enemy of knowledge and realization, then we'll come up with all kinds of weird philosophies distorting the actual teachings of the Bhagavatam and of the Bhagavatas, the devotees. We'll attempt to justify things in the name of Krishna consciousness. I got this big house. Someone told me a few years ago in America. I got this very big house. But actually, it's just so that I can invite devotees here. Really? We're supposed to believe that? I asked her, why are you taking on such a big house and then you have to spend so much money? She said, so I can invite devotees like yourself to come. Yeah, devotees maybe come once a week at the most for an hour and a half. There's absolutely no trace of desire for personal prestige whatsoever. As I was lying awake at night after night, thinking how to serve the devotees, and then that was my only thought in my mind, and then Krishna gave me the inspiration. Oh, should get a huge house. You could rent a hall once a week at much less cost than the payments on there. If he didn't sell it in the meantime, then he was caught in the housing collapse. What's that called? He was stuck with the mortgage, still having to pay $1 million or something. But the value of the house went down to about $300,000. So. Be careful. Be careful of trying to fulfill material desires in the name of Krishna consciousness. Dovetailing is one thing. Dovetailing one's propensities in Krishna's service is one thing. Attempting to fulfill one's material desires in the name of devotional service is something else. What's the difference? What's the difference? When the desire to satisfy Krishna and surrender to the order of Guru in the service of Krishna is predominant, that can be called dovetailing. When it's one's fulfilling one's own desire and trying to do that using Krishna consciousness as a medium for that. Then that's mundane. That's mundane with a touch of Krishna consciousness. It can be very misleading also, because someone may preach very widely and seem like a great preacher, but if the desire for personal prestige is very high, then the people he brings into Krishna consciousness by spiritual osmosis, they'll pick up the same propensity. So you'll get a whole big sampradaya of people who are in Krishna consciousness, but name, fame, and glory, and position, how big am I, and all this, that will be prominent. And so actual Krishna consciousness can't arise in such an atmosphere. A semblance of Krishna consciousness will be there. And then come all these flows. Well, anyway, somehow or other you chant and everything. Anyway, somehow or other you get people to chant. But did we never hear the discussions of Shuddhanam? One is free from offenses and free from material desire. Somehow or other get people to chant. Doesn't matter. Whatever else they do doesn't really matter. So all these other rules, they don't really matter. Somehow get people to chant. This is the progress of Sajjaya, say this. Doesn't matter what you do. You just love Krishna, that's all. If you love Krishna, then you don't engage in personal aggrandizement or any other form of sense gratification. At least if one is serious about developing love of Krishna, one doesn't as a sadhana, indulge in material desires. Sadhana means to become free from material desires. But if we're cultivating material desires, then we'll get material. Then we'll get material desires. We may get them fulfilled in Krishna consciousness or so-called Krishna consciousness. But that's because we're trying to cheat Krishna. Krishna cheats us. I'm working hard 70 hours a week because I have to push on my career, because if I have a very good career, then other people will also want to be a devotee, because they'll see I'm a devotee and I have such a good career. 70 hours a week means you have no time for sadhana. It's purifying. So many times we hear like this. Not only I'll have a good career, but a common one we hear in the West especially is we're going to start a rock group, and a rock group will become famous, and then people will appreciate Krishna consciousness. The chance is, so many people start a rock group and think they'll become famous. Most of them don't. In the meantime, your whole Krishna consciousness is compromised by bad association, hellish sounds, rock music, or whatever they call it nowadays, is hellish sounds, because your focus is on becoming famous and not on pleasing Krishna. It's not that, well, I'll try to please Krishna. Now, if I become famous, well, all right. But no, I'll become famous and then I'll preach Krishna consciousness. But not so likely. If you're already famous, like George Harrison was famous, then his fame was he did some service in popularizing the Krishna consciousness movement in the West. But to think I will become famous like that, and then people will follow. It's a ridiculous proposition, in which one's own material desire is put first. So if Krishna gives me $1 billion, then I'll build a temple. So Krishna give, I'm trying to get $1 billion. It's not for my own desire, so I can build a temple. Build a temple, you don't need any dollars. You just go and ask people who have $1 billion or even $1,000 to give a donation. And gradually, you can build a temple. You don't need to have any. So, always we have to see, what is our desire? Do we desire to serve Krishna, or we desire to satisfy our own senses? This we should always see. So we also have to be kamaha. To the extent that we have to take help from Krishna. Krishna destroys material desires, but it's not that we're, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, it's not that Arjuna just said, oh, let me just lie down on this chariot and you're God and you can do everything. But Krishna, he gave instruction to Arjuna. Mamana smara yudhyacha. You remember me and fight also, not just remember me. Remember me and then you don't have to do anything. No, you remember me, but you have to fight also. So, Hare Krishna.